As the Money Burns is an original podcast by Nikki Woodard. Based on historical research, this is a deep exploration into what happened to a set of actual heirs and heiresses to some of America's most famous fortunes when the Great Depression hits. Each episode has three primary sections. Section 1 is a narrative story. Section 2 goes deeper into the historical facts. Section 3 focuses on contemporary, emotional, and personal connections. This is a special episode commemorating the one-year anniversary of As the Money Burns podcast. There will be some recapping past storylines and teasing future ones. Now back to As the Money Burns. Big Dame Hunters. One-year anniversary special episode. All they want is love. Everyone else wants their fortune. Section 1, Story. Open on the Serengeti, the large open plains with all forms of wildlife. A large pride of lions amidst gazelles, elephants, and wildebeest. A watering hole depletes as more animals gather for a drink, competing with alligators and less than friendly predators. Yet the most dangerous predator is that standing a bit further away, the one seeking glory, power, and fame by taking down a magnificent beast. The hunter, a male, could be of any origin, age, race, ethnicity, religion, or class. He morphs from one to another as he moves about. Big game hunters love the thrill of the chase and need to catch the largest of the big game prizes. They will kill, skin, and mount their trophies. It's primal since the beginning of time. Heat rises on the Serengeti, melting the scenery away like a mirage disappearing and transforming. The hunter goes from safari khakis with binoculars and a rifle to whatever uniform necessary and a killer smile. The grassy plains into a charity event at a seaside polo field. The pride of lions into the heads of dynastic fortunes. The gazelles, any of the young impressionable heiresses still waiting to fall in love. The wildebeest, elephants, and other creatures are the various guests and servants milling about. With the rise of civilization, there's a shift in priorities and focus. A bigger catch, more elusive and rare. A whole different set of skills. The faint of heart need not apply. A young heiress slips away from her guardian and friends to grab some more lemonade. Once the hunter finds his target, he will go in for the kill. No holds bar. The accidental, not so accidental, introduction. For these people, all's fair in love and war, and money. Later that week, the hunter, cleaned up as a devastatingly handsome male, dressed in his best, carries a large bouquet of flowers. He arrives outside a large, sprawling mansion. He goes up the steps and waits for the ornate door, guarding those within, to open. Obviously, an unexpected, but not an unknown guest to the staff at hand. When the door finally, ominously opens, the handsome male pours on the charm, showing off his generous and sincere gift. The proper butler is unsure if the handsome male's company and attention is to be desired at this moment, so precautions must be taken. The handsome male is invited into the hidden enclave. The heavenly fragrance of tuberoses greet visitors upon entrance. The decor befits the location, but far beyond the normal. White marble, pink marble, gilded flourishes. An Austrian crystal chandelier hovers over the grand staircase that descends to the lower level and allows others to ascend further into the heavens. Pick your preference. Is he a spicy and suave Latin lover? A sophisticated and worldly European? A creative and sultry African-American jazz musician? An Asian prince? A bohemian Hawaiian surfer, a gifted and sensitive artist, an international spy, a contemplative intellectual, a dispossessed royal, an all-American jock, the playful and seductive movie star, a salt-of-the-earth gardener. He could be all or none. The truth, at one time or another, they all show up. They all take their shot, as the prize is far too big to not make an attempt. What he truly is a playboy, and what he aspires to be is a kept man. Gold fountains bubble with crystal clear water. He is led up to the salon to wait for further acceptance. Up in her ornate bedroom, the female, shifting from young to old, ugly duckling to swan, take your pick, sits at her vanity, fretting over what would make her beautiful. She delights at the idea of having her suitor waiting, anticipating his bids for affection. It can be exhilarating. She enters the salon greeting her suitor. His face drops a little upon sight, remembering she might not be as physically desirable. Coy and proper, they agree to meet again. It might be on the tennis courts, or maybe along the luxurious French Riviera, riding a gondola on the canals of Venice, trekking through the Himalayas, catching surf in the Pacific, on safari in Africa, or in the jungles of India. For now, they will take it slowly. They will attend a formal party. She will be the belle of the evening, escorted by the most handsome man in the room, at least to her eyes. They dance cheek to cheek, her heart swelling with the hope of fairy tale romance come true. As they turn and promenade, he gets ready for the kill. His hands tangle with her long strand of pearls. He contemplates snapping her neck, but it's much too soon. Then he spots another, more desirable trophy in their midst. The female might be prettier, older, curvier, or even uglier. But what she clearly is, and what is most desirable, is significantly wealthier. The game, the hunt, the prize, is not a big cat or a large beast. The prize is far more unique and almost mythic. Like catching a great white shark, a unicorn, or something even more fantastical. But like any big game hunter, once the prize is bagged, another, bigger, more prestigious one comes along. Young girls' hearts be damned. Fortunes lost, fortunes gained, hearts broken, it's all the same. The price to pay to be in the game. Section 2, History and Historiography. Mark Bowden from YouTube's behavioral panel had a great remark. Money can often get you a better standard of misery. Link provided in the notes section. Here's a fun tidbit. The prenuptial agreement was originally designed to protect the female in a marriage. In almost all countries, upon marriage, all property was automatically under the control and ownership of the husband. The prenup was meant to protect a wealthy female's property to remain at her discretion and prevent it from being drained or abused by the male, especially a poorer one. Most of the time when we think of fortune hunters, we think of females and the trophy wife. Yet there are plenty of males who are more than willing to pursue money via heart, body, and soul. With every historical era, there always seems to be a need and a desire to marry into wealth and prestige. Like the conservation of energy, money is something that seems to get traded a lot. New owners, old owners, temporary borrowers, around and around it goes until it all disappears. Over time, most wealthy dynasties deplete their resources and are in constant search of new cash. Those former working middle-class families that have gained a fortune will eventually marry into the higher upper classes. It was how the Italian merchant Medici family consolidated its power during the Renaissance. The rise of American fortunes during the Gilded Age led to the American dollar princess trend, where wealthy American girls would marry into the European aristocracy and royalty. Essentially, they were female title hunters who married socially acceptable male fortune hunters, a trend still partially in vogue when our story begins. We re-enter the past world to rediscover an era in full bloom. The adventures have so far included the discovery of entering King Tut's tomb, heartache and peril on the sinking Titanic, the excitement and creativity of the Harlem Renaissance, fabulous parties, a debutante ball, polo games, tennis matches, fun at the beach. Upcoming tales will include new locations, Buckingham Palace, French Riviera, Paris, and in time, eventually all the way to Hollywood, India, and Thailand. All in the aftermath of the stock market crash of 1929 and the accompanying Great Depression. Never had so many fortunes disappeared so quickly, suddenly, vanished, almost overnight, and around the globe. And with that change, the hunger, the desperation, and the lust for money and those that still had it became even stronger. The media hounded them as news fodder. Before, only names or pseudonyms appeared. But now, technology advanced to show photos and footage. Anonymity? Gone. Is there no wonder that the male fortune hunter became an icon himself? The big dame hunters were playboys, some lesser sons of the wealthy, or companions to wealth who now want a bigger fortune to play with. The solution? Heiresses. This is more than a tale about greed and envy. There's plenty of the other deadly sins. Wrath, sloth, pride, gluttony, and lastly, lust. Nothing gets in the way of seeking a fortune, not even the heart. In fact, their preferred method of the hunt is through the heart and bed. They will pour it on thick until they get what they want, and they will drain every penny before heading on to the next. Adventure and broken hearts are what these men provide. Our heiresses can afford the best in life, but that brings them far more problems. Plenty of lovers, seductions, and scams galore, as the greedy always want more, more, more. Hearts and bank accounts be damned, as nothing is off limits to those needing glam. Love triangles and quadrangles abound. It's not always certain who's safe to keep around. Hiding their losses, jewels and valuables are sold, but not everything that appears gilded is truly gold. Many will be left broken, then discarded like unwanted tokens. Section 3, Contemporary and Personal Relevance. As I have mentioned, I spent years trying to develop this story as a television series. Part of the hook that provided my main drive was the concept of romance and seduction. After my own divorce and re-entering the dating world, I had hoped for another good chance to have that experience. Only in the digital era, far too much time is spent fending off more than the overly intrusive, not suggestive, but blatant, assorted vulgarities and avoiding the dreadful dick pics. A large, endless field filled with landmines for disappointment and heartache. I stumbled over the stories of Barbara Hutton and Doris Duke with their complicated love lives. I learned as teens they spent summers in Rhode Island, much like I had done once, which is where I experienced my first love. I read about their first marriages and felt a sense of connection to their hopes and dreams that turned into nightmares. Luckily, I had already decided to turn this tale into a podcast when the pandemic and lockdown broke out. The addition of the modern section was largely in response to criticism, especially during the current predicament, as why should we even care? That little question opened so many more explorations, both psychologically as well as contemporary highlights, from personal revelations to better emphasize and contextualize emotions behind any given dynamic, to ongoing cultural, political, and sometimes even criminal situations, reminding us that history is forever cyclical and alive. A never-ending trail of segues, side paths, and detours to better illustrate time, place, situation, and characters, going beyond the limits of more narrowly focused methods of solely literary, versus documentary-style storytelling. This has yielded some crazy parallels. A Ponzi scheme that ensnared Daytona, AT&T, and Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Movies and television series inspired by people and situations like the Mummy franchise and Downton Abbey's connection to the discovery of King Tut. The British royals past and present. The GameStop takedown of hedge funds. As well as future subject and connections with famous music videos, today's celebrity culture, and television series like The Crown and Bridgerton. And there is always a new Ponzi scheme or story ready to surface in our midst. The pandemic and lockdown is still in effect, but hopefully not too much longer. I appreciate all the time and attention you have given to this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the stories because there's so much more to tell. Thank you to all my friends and family for the ongoing encouragement, useful critiques, technical saves, and input during the process of making this series. Lastly, I want to thank Past Perfect Vintage Music, whose wonderful and amazing catalog of digitally restored and remastered music appears throughout each episode. The range from dark and gloomy to fun and playful from the time period and era adds a special touch. It really is from the past and perfect in setting the mood and tone. Big band, swing, 20s, 30s, 40s, specialty themed albums, famous musicians, Irving Berlin, Benny Carter, Glenn Miller, the Savoy Orpheans, only to name a few. It's a treat to see what new song to include next. Episode song details can be located via As the Money Burns website or in the podcast notes section. And check out their website, www.pastperfect.com, for more of their collection. The main theme song, My Heart Belongs to Daddy, by Billy Cotton, will play in full. We look forward to your return to As the Money Burns, the ongoing saga of love and money. Until then. As the Money Burns is an original podcast written, produced, and voiced by Nikki Woodard, based on historical research. Archival music has been provided by Past Perfect Vintage Music. Check out their website at www.pastperfect.com. Please come visit us at As the Money Burns via Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Transcripts, timeline, episode guide, and character bios are available at asthemoneyburns.com.
Above a date with a duke or a caddy, but that's a pose, for my baby knows that my heart belongs to daddy. When some good scout invites me out to dine on some fine fin and haddies, my baby's sure his love is secure, 'cause my heart belongs to daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, I'm gonna marry daddy. Da 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 da. If you feel romantic, lady, let me warn you right from the start that my heart belongs to daddy, and my daddy belongs to my heart. Thank you. to warn you, lady, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy, 'cause my daddy, he treats it so well.